Welcome to the Goldenrod Podcast. I'm Ben. As always, I'm joined by fellow Pokemon enthusiast Connor to bring you some of the latest and greatest Pokemon news and a few laughs along the way. This week, we're discussing why a popular YouTuber has received a copyright strike from Nintendo. We're also discussing Palworld's recently revealed pal that has a striking resemblance to a well-known Pokemon that we're confident is going to cause an uproar. We're also discussing two recently discovered items in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet's game code and speculating on why they weren't implemented. And finally, we'll be discussing Pokemon Legend ZA and what returning legendary and mythical Pokemon we could expect to see in new forms. As always, you can jump to a topic using the timestamps in the description below. That was a very long intro, Connor.
Well, we got a lot of topics this week, which is pretty good considering there was no news when we started this 5 minutes ago.
I even went to the Pokemon website. Typically, the Pokemon website is the last place I go to. Yeah. I'll keep an eye out throughout the week. And then, in the last day or two, I will just go onto, my web browser and just search Pokemon, go to the news tab and see what there is. And then if there's nothing there, then I go to the Pokemon website, because the news section of the Pokemon website, while there is news on there, it's a lot of, here's Pokemon Masters EX, here's Pokemon TCG,
Zarude is coming back to Pokemon Go. Aren't you excited?
Which is annoyed a lot of people that has, because of the cost of it. It's about £8 over here, and it's actually the price of that is more than the recent shiny Shaymin, which was priced at, I think, $4.99, that I held off on. I was like, no, I'm not putting any more money into this. So they're at that stage. Niantic are at that stage where I think they're just going, how much money can we get out of our players, which, they're a company, they exist to make money, but tell you what, £8 is too much. Even $4.99 for a shiny Shaymin was too much. You got me with the shiny Mew. I'm not doing a shiny again on that game for $4.99. No chance.
Nope, don't agree with it. Don't really like microtransactions in games, but I have been over that many times now. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was sat, my mates just picked up the Pokeball Plus thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he was carrying it around. He brought it up with him. And it was sat on the table. And it just starts going brr, brr, and flashing all different colors. I'm like, that's annoying. What's that thing? And he said, oh, yeah, it's catching Pokemon for me. I'm like, so you're not playing the game anymore? He was like, no, it cost me 60 quid. But now I just keep it in my pocket and it'll spin Pokestops for me. And it will try and catch Pokemon. I'm like, but are these Pokemon you would usually want to try and catch, or is it just throwing your Pokeballs away? So, like, oh, well, it does it whatever Pokemon. I'm like, okay. It does seem to fail the catches a lot more than I'm used to, though. Like, it does fail quite a bit. I'm like, so what they've done is realized, hey, here's somebody who's willing to spend 60 quid to play this game they're already playing. They're probably going to do a lot of microtransactions. What we should do is waste all their items so they'll buy more.
Yeah. It boggles my mind. I can understand why some people would do that, because if they love the game, if they play anyway, and maybe they can't always play the game or they want a bit of downtime from the game, it's a good little item that allows you to continue building up your Pokemon, your candies, your items. But I'm not paying £60 for it. I'm not paying to not play the game, if that makes sense.
The thing is, not only is it paying to not play, which, again, is a microtransaction model. That's what we know about, like, skipping games, pay to get to level 50 kind of thing. Pay to not play is a model. But what I think they're also doing is basically selling you an addiction machine.
Okay.
Notifications only exist to keep your mind focused on the apps and things like that.
Yeah.
And we know that. So to go out and buy a device that actively is going to give you more notifications when nothing's happening, it's just going, oh yeah, game. I'm not playing it, but oh yeah, game. Oh yeah, I need to see what I've caught. Oh, I need to think about this. I need to think about this game right now. You don't. You're not playing it. You don't have to think about the game. Anyway, yep. That's my thoughts on that one.
And that is why, folks, if ever you realize that I'm not responding to Discord messages or YouTube notifications when you've commented, it's not that I'm being rude. It's because I limit my notifications for that reason. You know, when you see those horror shows of people that have like dozens of those little red numbers, I can't do it. It gives me anxiety. I look at it and I feel like I'm ignoring people. I'm missing out on people. So outside of the ones that I feel like they do bring benefits, such as, you know, WhatsApp, Messenger, phone notifications, because they're real life contacts that I, you know, family, friends. If they're contacting me, then it's probably urgent or something that I, you know,
I'm
interested
in. Do you do the thing
in.
Where you split your contacts across the messaging services? So you're if it's a Facebook message, it doesn't matter. If it's a WhatsApp, it could matter a lot. If it's a message, well, it's either spam or a grandparent who needs help.
Yeah, but if it's a phone call, then I know it's panic. Something. I'm like, okay, right, what's going on? What's happening? Like, something's going on. Also, that's another thing. I was talking to some people at work recently. I know we're completely off topic here, but you know this symbol.
Yeah, no. That's not what a phone is anymore, is it? It's this.
It's Oh right, is that? I've heard.
I know one of the two.
Like that. That's phone now, because obviously phones aren't. Phones don't,
they don't
have
do that anymore.
Don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore. Anyway, let's jump into the first topic. A hugely popular Call of Duty YouTuber has said their 7-year-old video featuring Pokemon modded into Call of Duty Zombies was hauled offline after the Pokemon company issued a removal request. They took to X, formerly Twitter, with the following message: warning to all content creators, if your videos feature any sort of modded Pokemon content, I would delete it, unlist it ASAP. Just got a manual strike for a video I made 7 years ago featuring Pokemon modded into Call of Duty Zombies. Two more strikes and their channel gets deleted. Now, looking at the actual copyright strike that they have screenshotted and included, the removal request was issued by the Pokemon Company International. And there's also something. It says content used Pikachu, Gengar, Meowth, and Mewtwo. And that content is found in the entire video. Now, I haven't watched the entire video. I have just seen a screenshot. And the moment I saw the screenshot, I understood why Nintendo stepped in. It is literally, they're holding the ray gun and it's pointing at a Pikachu. Now, while, you know, we've said in the past, Nintendo, Game Freak, Pokemon companies needs to get off content creators' backs because, like, it's not hurting them. This is one of those scenarios where, yeah, I get why they've taken this down. I feel like they are in the right, but, you know, a copyright strike feels like a little bit of a...
Yeah, like, they skipped the DMCA bit.
Yeah.
Which is what should have really happened here first.
Yeah, it feels like they've gone from 0 to 100. The other thing that I'm puzzled about is this is a 7-year-old video. Have they only just come across this? It seems like it, because the damage is already done at this point. I can't imagine, you know, most YouTube videos, they kind of had that huge spike at some point and then they start to peter off, or not, you know, don't do as well or have as much growth. So I can't imagine there are many people finding this. And by doing this, I imagine more people are then going out of their way to try to watch this content.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There, like, this is a content creator with 51 million subs. 5.21. I might have got it wrong. Anyway, doesn't matter.
5.21.
So they've got all the subs in the world. Someone is making a backup of all their content, which is something I realized people do very recently, is they, if they're sort of massively into content creators, they'll make their own archive libraries because things get taken down for random reasons and people want to keep hold of them, which is why I've been saying about archiving games being such an important thing for years, that kind of thing. Yes, Nintendo are well within their rights to do so. Again, I think a DMCA would have sufficed here. I think that was the correct response. But is this... What worries me now, is this a sign of things to come? Is this Nintendo, Game Freak, Pokemon Company have had their win against Yuzu and are now going, yeah, actually, we gave all the gamers a shot. they shut it down.
Yeah. Potentially, yeah. There is a very real possibility that they are now just on the warpath. And the annoying thing is, the more things that they win, the more likely they are to then continue the crackdown. Obviously, Yuzu was massive, and it was based on the evidence that was shown in terms of the proof that they had. It was a slam dunk for them. This, again, is something else where they just go, no, that's perfectly within our right. Let's get that one as well. So at what point are they going to either ramp this up even more or slow this down? I am of the mindset that we're going to be seeing more of this over the coming months.
Yeah, more than likely.
And how... So this person, this Noah J, I don't know how much of their content is Pokemon content. I've got a feeling it's not a lot, because the articles that I've seen says a Call of Duty YouTuber. So how long before they start to... So the point I'm making there is him taking down this video probably doesn't impact on his revenue all that much. How long until they start to go out of content creators whose content is predominantly Pokemon? Who, you know, we know that they don't like randomized Nuzlocks. How long before they go, oh no, we've got proof that you're playing on a modded version. We're going to come after you now. And I don't know how easy that would be, how the legality of that. It's interesting, it's complicated, but the more Nintendo wins these, the more likely it will go, yeah, they're not benefiting us, let's get rid of them.
It would be... See, usually the argument is they've let too many slip by now to start fighting now. Fair use is such a gray area within the law anyway, and it's also not a thing over in Japan, so the fact that any Japanese company allows fair use to happen in the first place is a miracle. But the point is, it's usually, as I say, with IPs and copyrights and things like that, you have to defend it. You have to. So the moment you stop and you say, okay, we let this slip by, you've given carte blanche to just let everybody do it. And again, there are far too many content creators out there who will have messages from people who work at the Pokemon company saying, we'd love to work with you, but you do randomize content, so we can't. And that's it. And that's enough for them to go, you knew, you didn't do anything about it. You can't do something about it now. You don't get to retroactively go back and attack me for this because you knew about it and you didn't do anything. And I think the thing is, it would only take one person within the community to be struck hard for the whole community to just turn on them and be like, no, we're not standing for this.
Yeah.
You don't get to work with any of us then.
And I could really see that actually causing an issue for Nintendo and Game Freak. Of, you know, they go after a popular one, and a lot of these YouTubers aren't, you know, PokerTubers aren't isolated. They are in communities. They are friends with other PokerTubers. And if one of them goes, I'm being attacked, I can guarantee you more will come out of the woodwork and go, well, I'll stand with you. Yeah, are we just refusing to post content for a while, and we just put out a video that says, this is why we're not producing content for this week, this month. This is the reason why. Here's a hashtag. Here's, you know, whatever methods they want to do in order to protest that. And suddenly, you know, Nintendo, Game Freak are on the back foot again. So I think Nintendo are probably...
So I don't necessarily think it'd be a case of we don't produce content anymore. It's... Nobody works with Game Freak anymore. Nobody works with the Pokemon company. We don't accept gifts.
Yes.
We don't promote them. You're talking about content creators who like host the world championships and things like that. You start coming down on content creators, but nah, we're done. You are not on the side of gamers. We're not on your side.
Yeah, I completely get that.
I'd love to say that's what's going to happen. There's no guarantee it would.
No, there's not. And like the Yuzu stuff, this is it's just very interesting that these two things have happened so close together. And maybe we've seen a correlation when there isn't a correlation. But the fact that Nintendo's gone after something 7 years old, You know, I think this is just Nintendo trying to draw a line in the sand and that's the wrong analogy, but kind of like trying to get a gauge for how far can we push to protect, as they see it, their IP before pushing it too far. And I think that's what we're going to see over the next weeks and months is, okay, the odd video here or there where they're going, oh no, we can protect this. This is an easy win, but it's not going to annoy the majority of our fans.
Oh, interesting. Sorry, I'm just reading the rest of the article now. Should have read this first. So a creator called Toasted Shoes tweeted to say that they felt responsible for the removal of this video. They tweeted saying, after the heat of Nintendo taking down my Pal World video, which I believe was the Pal World Pokemon.
Was that where the Torchic appeared in the trailer?
They modded Pokemon into Pal World. I did a COD Zombies Pokemon video. My mindset was they wouldn't take my video down since other creators had made content on it in the past for years. However, they still took action. I didn't think they'd go scorched earth, and I certainly didn't think it would lead to a chain reaction.
So just so I'm clear, so that person that did the Pokemon in Power World released that and was shut down instantly.
Immediately.
They then went, oh, what else could I do? Oh, I'll do Pokemon in Zombies that other people have done before, therefore I'm okay doing that. They've then, this same person has then got their content shut down, and then from there they've gone, oh, we're now aware of this. How many other people have done Call of Duty Zombies with Pokemon? Let's go after them as well. So
there you go. There's the link. That's why now.
Okay. And I'm sorry, but that content creator that was doing Pal World Pokemon, I'm sorry, but you need to start a brand new channel, because let's be honest with you, Nintendo have that channel favorites. Yes, they are absolutely keeping an eye on that. And anything that they see as, no, that's too far, they are going straight after. They are not messing around.
Imagine the goal to be like, oh, my last Pokemon mod got taken down. You know what
this
I'll do?
Okay.
I'll make another Pokemon mod. This'll show them.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. That's brilliant. Okay, so that person. Yeah. Should they feel any responsibility, though, for this?
I mean, I don't know. I've just sat here and said that, you know, other content creators have been doing it for years. You've known about it for years, and you've not done anything, so it should be okay. Apparently not. I mean, obviously, Nintendo could probably turn around and argue, no, we never knew about this to begin with. Mm. We've only just found out. And that's maybe where the difference is, where there is evidence to say, like, you know, PokeTubers are like modding content, stop it. But they are technically still within their right, I guess.
Thing is, maybe it is a case of Nintendo have only just come across it. Like how much content is uploaded to YouTube every single day? And I know only a proportion
months,
of that
month's worth.
And I know only a proportion of that is Pokemon content, but you know, I get a couple of alerts via, I think, vidIQ that are like, oh, here are all the trending Pokemon videos. And the amount of stuff I see on there that from content creators, I have no idea who these people are. I just see a thumbnail and think, okay, that looks interesting. And, you know, Pokemon Minecraft and all these other different things. And I guess it's not outside the realm of possibility that Nintendo just can't keep up with all of this.
Unless there's a news article about it. They probably never see it.
Probably not. I mean, it goes past like what we said. Was it last week when we were talking about the quote from the previous chief legal officer or whatever? And they were saying how, you know, when typically things just land on his desk. So it's not like they're going out
here.
Yeah, they're not going out searching. It's just someone might come along and go, yeah, by the way, while I was doing this, I stumbled upon this mod, this game, this whatever it is. Here it is. It's now on your radar. Over to you. Do your thing. And like they said, they don't typically go after them straight away. They wait. And that's kind of... That's not what we've seen here. We haven't seen them waiting. We've seen them obviously... Well, actually, yeah, waiting for that same person to to slip up again and then go, I got you again. It's, this is interesting.
It's going to be an interesting space to watch in the coming months to see how far they push it.
Yeah. Speaking of pushing it, Pal World releasing... You're right, what was that?
You said push it, and I was like,
push it.
There you go. Sorry. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
Stop it, we'll get copyright claimed.
Yeah. Pal World is releasing a new Pal called...
Bella Noir?
Bella Noir, which has a striking resemblance to God of War. And we were joking before we started recording that it's, you know, this is our legally distinct God of War. We have changed just enough that you cannot sue us, you cannot come after us, but you cannot deny that this Pokemon... Pal World knows what they're doing. They're not daft.
I mean, you'd have really thought that the next Pal they released, if they were trying to step away from that, we're not a Pokemon clone thing,
yeah,
would be so far away from anything Pokemon has done that there would be no question about it.
And this, no, they're just leaning.
This is just shiny Mega Gardevoir.
Yeah, it is. They literally could have, like you say, gone down the route of, we released these pals in the game that look similar to get our game recognized, to get people playing and buying our game. Okay, now that we've got that player base, we can actually step away and we can go, let's make our own thing. This is our chance to create something unique. The fact that they've done this means that they're just leaning hard into this. And I think, actually, you know, Pal World likely has a path in terms of, you know, where they eventually want to see this game go in terms of releasing new areas, new raids, new pals. I think we will see, you know, they'll almost have, okay, here are 1,000 Pokemon, which are the ones that we kind of want to, you know, take elements of and do and create.
What's
and
the greatest hits?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Like, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the ones that we're getting over the next few months are some kind of Charizard knockoff, some kind of Greninja knockoff. We already know there's a Mewtwo, or, you know, Mewtwo Mega X coming.
Your first legendary raid is going to be a Rayquaza ripoff.
That's what we're going to get. We're just going to get them going, okay, let's cause controversy, let's cause conversations, and... You know what? I'm actually okay with this. I'm okay with seeing Pal World as a kind of what's the word I'm looking for? What's the word? It's not a knockoff. It's a satire. Satire.
Okay.
Yeah. That I'm all for that. I'm okay with them leaning into some elements of that. And the reason I'm okay with that is because the base gameplay is different than Pokemon.
Yeah, it's distinct enough. Like, it's
that's
just
why I'm
not
okay
Pokemon.
With it. Yes, if this was like carbon copy, like Temtem or Cassette Beasts or any of the others, and they were doing this, I'd feel a little bit dirty about it because I'd feel like, no, you're just
too close to the sun there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's too close to what you are trying to mock. Whereas because the gameplay is nothing like Pokemon, I'm okay with this. I'm absolutely okay with this. You know, Pokemon doesn't own the... How do I describe this? Like, Pidgey's just based off a bird. Rattata's just based off a rat. That's okay, apparently. But the moment you start to, you know, mock some of their original creations, that's not okay. I'm okay with it personally.
You just hate Pokemon. That's what it is.
I absolutely hate Pokemon.
You hate Pokemon. You want to see it to fail. And
Gen 10 is where it ends.
Gen 10 is where it ends.
Gen 10.
We won't even get Legends.
Could you imagine?
Z2A's not even coming out.
No, it's not. It's they're just taking you for a ride, folks. Like, this never going to get released. Nintendo Switch 2, never going to get released either.
No, that's it. Nintendo have folded yesterday. Yesterday, Nintendo folded. Breaking news.
Could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine?
Chaos that would ensue.
Yes, people would be very, very upset. Anything else you want to say about Power World before we move on?
It is what it is. They're releasing new raids. That's really cool for the game. Come on, guys. They know what they're doing. You can't even be mad.
No, you cannot at this point. I think we'll see less of the gun element now. I think the gun element was just for those initial trailers to get people talking. Oh, it's Pokemon with guns. Like, regardless of what you think about Power World, the marketing behind it was phenomenal. Yep. They did that. They played that so well. You know, it's the reason why it got people talking and eventually buying it. Let's move on to another piece of news. And I stumbled upon this over on Reddit. So these are the two mysterious items in the coding of Scarlet.
We're going to do some questions first.
Are we?
Yes, because I'm going to come on to those items afterwards.
Okay, I've been overruled. As host of the podcast, I do not have all the power. So let's look at the
question. No, you don't have any power. You just have the blame. We've been over this.
Oh, no, not the blame. That's the weirdest part. So we've had a question courtesy of Tony regarding Pokemon Legends Z-A. And they say, with how we got a new legend in Enamorus in the previous game, so Legends Arceus, do you think we will either get a new form for Caldeo, since the other Swords of Justice got Paradox Form? Or, with the game being set in the past, could we get the original forms for the legendary beasts, Entei, Raikou, and Suicune, before the Fire and Ekrotic and Ho-Oh's revival blessing, since they've been heavily promoted? Have they been heavily promoted?
They're coming into Sleep, aren't they?
Sleep. That was it. There was something else.
They got the Paradox Forms.
Yeah. There was something else on Pokemon Day. There was something else because we were talking about all the...
Yeah. Why did it feel like we were going to get a Gold and Silver remake?
Yes. Yes. There was something else, but I can't remember.
It was the unknowns, wasn't it? Specifically on Pokemon Day.
Yes. That was it. So many unknowns. Yes, yes, yes. So.
Do you want to take it first?
No, you take it first.
Okay. I've already said that I think we're going to get a Keldeo form. I think we're going to get a... The difficulty thing is that Keldeo already has his Resolute form.
Yes.
So do we get a new form of Keldeo? Or do we get a, you know, something along the same lines as Paradox or regional... What are they called now? I forget what they're called.
Regional forms? Divergent forms?
The Divergent Evolutions. Something like that, where it's Keldeo, but not Keldeo.
Mm.
I could see that being a thing. I think Keldeo kind of should be in this game. I'd like to see him. I think it would be really good to have them in there. Do I think we're going to get the beasts? No, not the original beasts. I don't think so. Now, I've got two reasons for this. One, I don't think it takes place long enough ago.
It's about 200 years in our lifetime, because it's based on the renovation of Paris, which happened in 1800s. Connor is furiously typing.
That's the bit I'm aware of. Yes.
Yes. Which apparently I read that's not actually Legends Z-A isn't actually that long after Legends Arceus, apparently, but I could never figure out when Legends Arceus was. Timeline-wise.
It's about sort of 200-odd years ago.
Oh, is that it? It feels much older.
Japan had a weird jump, so you got to understand that historically, the Japanese were very isolated for a long time, and I'm going to go into a little bit of a history lesson here. Been watching Shogun, by the way. If you're 18 and over, I recommend Shogun on Disney+.
Okay.
The Portuguese were the first ones to arrive in Japan because they got around the Cape of Good Hope. And they were like the only ones who knew how to get over there. And it was all to do with the Byzantine Empire and not allowing people to trade across the Silk Road and things like that. So they had to get over to the east somehow. Then the British found their way across. And then trade started coming back and forth. It was only really since then that Japan started having newfound technology kind of thing. Up till then, they were very much set in their ways. So over the last 200 years, Japan has seen a massive overhaul to the extent that, like, what was happening in Europe had already been happening for a few hundred years already. So that's why Legends Arceus feels so much further behind, because Japan just felt that way.
Right.
That being said, if we are about 200 years ago, I'm wrong, because apparently the lightning strike that hit the tower was 150 years before Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Ooh,
so we might be exactly on time.
Do you... Okay, so the timeline matches up. But... So I was coming to this conversation thinking, I don't think we're ever going to see the original forms of Entei, Raikou, and Suicune. I just... They haven't touched it yet. Why would they? But now I'm thinking, would they reveal those Pokemon in a Kalos-based game? Would they not wait until an eventual Johto remake of some kind, or Johto Legends? Or, you know, let's be honest with you, Pokemon is going to be around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The Legends series, you know, we were for a while thinking, is it a one and done? Like, let's go. It's obviously not. They've got ideas. Chances are we're getting a series of Legends games. And because Pokemon is going to go on forever, chances are we will get a Legends Johto at some point, a Legends Unova. Why would they, I say the word waste? Like, why would they, waste is probably the wrong word. Why would they not wait until the appropriate game to reveal the original form?
Why did Enamorous get released in Sinnoh rather than Unova?
That's a valid point. Yeah. No, that's right.
I agree with you that it does seem odd that these Pokemon that are so heavily tied to Johto are going to be revealed elsewhere. I also, and this was the second part of my point, is I don't think we should ever see the original beasts, because it's a mystery. And part of the Pokemon world is that, like, level of mystery, and it gives us something to look for and go and search for. If they answer all of the questions, there's nothing left to ask. And I think that would be a shame. I think the closest we've come so far was seeing, like, the three dog-like Pokemon in the one of the anime series. I can't remember. One of the spin-off ones. We see silhouettes of three creatures as the tower burns down, and then we see them in their full glorious form when they emerge as Suicune, Entei, and Raikou. I was going to say Articuno. Wrong.
That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Wait, why you got wings?
So I don't think it's necessarily they wouldn't do it in Kalos, because we got, like, the new bird forms in Galar.
True.
They've got no issue with saying, yeah, these Pokemon roam around. These were the original roaming Pokemon after all. So it could happen. I don't know if I want to see it. I wouldn't be mad if I did. Does that make sense?
It does. There are some, it's really annoying actually, because sometimes Game Freak give you the answers to the mysteries that you don't want, and some of the mysteries that you would like answered, they don't give you. Raikou, Entei, and Suicune, they're one of the mysteries that I'm actually okay with. I'm okay with them not touching, because for me, some of the theory crafting around that, you know, I remember the first time that I heard that, the three Pokemon were Flareon, Jolteon, and Vaporeon, because, you know, they are based in the same area with the Kimono girls that have the evolutions, and they're also the same typings. I remember, I was like, wow, that's amazing. I didn't think about that. So it's one of the good things about Game Freak, and I don't know if this is them being lazy or they deliberately do it this way of, well, if we don't give them all the answers, like, we don't then need to do the work, because our fans will do the work for us, and they'll, you know, pull out all these links and stuff that either are there by accident or people are just, you know, pulling at straws, whatever it might be. There are certain things that I'm okay with Game Freak never touching on, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I would like to see them maybe do a twist on it. Like, have Ho-Ho revive something else in the modern day. Like, that's another aspect that you could see. Now, we've seen it happen once. Why can't we see it happen again? And legendary Pokemon, as they've shown in most of the games, they're actually okay with the legendary Pokemon just kind of like, okay, they're over there now. Now they're over here. Now they're over here. And I know that typically we only get them, they're only story relevant in the generation that they're introduced. I'd also like to see us move away from that as well.
Yeah.
So I'd be absolutely fine with them going, oh, Kalos, we've got to renovate it. Oh, whoopsie, there's a fire. Ho-Oh is over here reviving Pokemon. I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely fine with them moving legendaries around, because then we get to see them in new environments, new forms, and tell new stories with existing Pokemon, which I'm all for. I'm of the mindset that not every generation has to have brand new Pokemon. It's one of the things Legends Arceus did really well. There wasn't loads of brand new legendaries and mythicals. No, it was the same ones that we've captured dozens of times before, but they got to tell a fresh and exciting story with them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think if these are, you know, legendary Pokemon that shape the lands, the seas, the universe in some extent, they should be revered in more than one place.
Yeah, that's a really valid point, actually. So it always felt weird that, like, Kyogre and Groudon, for example, like, they're not just changing the landscape in the Hoenn region. It's shown to be worldwide, right? When the, mm-hmm. you know, when it happens, the Archie and Maxie are like, oh no, the world's in trouble. We've kind of gone too far. So why aren't they revered in other locations? Maybe, you know, I can understand some legendary Pokemon not being like that. But like,
why isn't there a Church of Arceus across the world?
It's a very valid point, actually. Yeah, actually, is there much religion in Pokemon?
No. They tend to stay away from it.
Yeah. More about the science and technology and all that. So, yeah. So, do we think... So, to go back to the original question, do we think that Entei, Raikou, and Suicune could be in there? Actually, you know what? Because we've seen them with their Paradox forms... Maybe. I'd be really interested to see that. And to go back to Keldeo as well, I know it's already got its two forms already, but one of them is like Horse Unicorn Fighty Boy, and the other one is Horse Unicorn Fighty Boy with a slightly bigger stick, right? There's not that much difference.
And feathers. Don't you forget and the feathers.
And the feathers. I'm sorry. Yeah.
but yes, you're right.
So I'm okay with seeing another form because that... So the most obvious connection that you could think of is Shaymin, because Shaymin has two forms. But Shaymin's forms are very distinct from one another, mm-hmm. whereas... You know, Keldeo, I don't think those forms are distinct enough to rule out a Paradox form.
And let's not forget, different form could also mean Mega. We're in Kalos.
Oh, yes. Ooh. I could see that as well.
Like, I could see a Mega Keldeo. I could see a Mega Suicune, Raikou, and Entei.
Yeah, I could as well. Thinking about it, though, we're talking about, you know, Paradox forms. I guess the question we have to ask is, are Paradox forms just Scarlet and Violet, done, dusted? No more
and
Paradox
that
forms.
That brings us back to the next section of okay. The two stones that were found within the game arc, within the game code.
Well done.
So, we've got one that just looks like an old bit of rock with some crystal sticking out of it.
Yep.
And one that's like a swirly stone with some purple
yes.
energy goo moving through it.
Yeah.
What if these are somehow a way to go paradoxify?
Oh, paradox evolution.
You take your Hydreigon, you give it the purple stone, and it becomes, I forget its name, Iron Jugulus.
Yes.
But you give the, say, an Entei, the little brown stone, and it becomes Raging Flame or whatever it's called. I forget the name of these Pokemon.
Gouging Fire. Gouging Fire.
Gouging Fire. There you go.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you'd explain it in lore because they are not the same Pokemon.
They're not.
But it could be, and this is where I really like the idea. We haven't had an explanation for the circles, and we haven't had an explanation for the tablet. So in Area Zero,
you've
got the metal tablet that comes back in time, and we have the ancient circles that are drawn on the ground. How cool would it be if it was a case of, well, if you take your Pokemon here, you have one of these items that came from one of the Paradox Dimensions, you can swap them? Maybe you're trading across dimensions?
Yeah, you just have a throwaway line of, oh, your Entei is reacting to dimensional energy.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Like, Game Freak don't really explain things in great detail. They just have throwaway lines that go, yeah, that's reasonable, I guess. I guess that makes sense. So, yes, so that's how you get around that.
And that's how you have Pokemon, that's how you have Paradox Pokemon outside of Scarlet and Violet, is you just give them this item.
Yeah, I could see that working. I'm trying to think, is that ever been done before in
the Pokemon? The closest thing I can think of is like the Unovan Stone in Pokemon Go, which isn't quite the same.
Pokemon Go has its own weird logic when it comes to evolutions, because you get the Sinnoh Stone, Unova Stone. There's some Pokemon that don't need stones.
So you have the mirrors that you shine on the genies that shows their true forms.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, there are certain Pokemon, actually. Yeah, they do have items that change their forms.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Deoxys, if you show it to a bunch of different meteors, it changes forms, right? Is that how that one works?
I think so. I can't remember.
But what makes it complicated is they are very distinctly different Pokemon within the lore. They are not... It's not a form of Entei.
Yes.
It's Gouging Flame.
Well, they've got their own number in the
Pokedex,
so I could see it working, and they could just do some hand-holding, you know, some hand-waving of, no, the dimensional energy, like, just changes it. It doesn't change its form. It changes the Pokemon to a Paradox form.
I think trading would be better. I think you're effectively trading across dimensions. Because the thing is, you're changing your Pokemon, and that... I mean, evolution within the Pokemon world is weird, and we've covered it a couple of times in the anime where it's like, I don't want to evolve, I don't want to be different, and that's like a touchy subject that we really shouldn't be looking into. It hits a level it evolves. It's a good thing. It's always a good thing. In fact, they've touched on trading in the anime as well, and it's not always been a positive outcome.
No.
But it's a thing that makes sense in the world to give away your Pokemon and get another one in return. So instead of just like, I have completely changed this Pokemon from A to B, I've traded it.
Yeah. So, do you think these items are coming back? Or are we just speculating? Are we just what if?
I think if I had to put money on it, that's what I'd say they were for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to be for that.
Okay, so I have a bit of information. I say information, it is comments on Reddit that have delved into what these items are for. And there are two prevailing theories. The first is that they were supposed to give a terrestrialized form to Maridon and Coridon, similar to Ogerpon and Terrapagos.
That's because one of the leakers did come out and say that Maridon and Coridon were supposed to have another form, and we never saw it.
Yep. So that's that one, potentially. And the other one that I saw that was floating about that seemed to have a lot of engagement was that these original items were used to activate Maridon Coridon's abilities. Aura, Calcium, Pulse, and I always forget the other one. But then they decided, let's just create a single booster energy. And there's two supporting things with this. One is that If they, by combining them into a single booster energy, it prevents you from running. It doesn't prevent you. It kind of cuts down the benefit of running two separate paradox forms, because
it
you can only
prevent
have
you in some formats. You're only allowed one.
Yeah. One item, which is the one booster energy. And the other thing is that apparently the booster energy in the TCG, the item card, has two forms, one past, one.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm. So I think I'm leaning more towards one of them being the case of they were items that originally were going to have some kind of purpose for, and I still think that they were for Maridon Caridon, but eventually they were cut. Either because of the item, like, well, let's just combine it into one item, or the fact that, oh, let's give them another form, and then suddenly realizing, oh, that's, like, what's the benefit of giving them an extra form? Because technically they've already got two forms. Each, they've got the ride form, and then they've got the battle form. So we would have seen three forms for these Pokemon, which...
Too much.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that, I think one of them is probably correct.
I like the booster energy theory.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame, really, because these items look phenomenal. Like I, especially the one on the right, the glowing purple violet one, looks gorgeous. Oh,
I guess I'm gonna have to put the pictures up on the screen now. Stop giving me work to do. Can we do an episode where I don't have to put things on the screen? It takes extra work. I don't like it.
No, the people love it. It's engagement.
Watch this on YouTube if you want the full experience.
Do it. Yeah. Anything else on these items?
No, I'm a little bit ashamed that I got my hopes up now for, like, paradoxifying Pokemon. It's definitely not that. It was never, ever going to be that. Let's face facts.
No, I think paradox forms, unfortunately, are just going to be one of those things where they're not touched on in a game, and you just have to transfer them over. Right, if you want them in your late game.
We might get them. They might be a random thing where it's just like, you know, like Dynamax Adventures. Doesn't really make sense that all these Pokemon show up, but... Do you want them in your game or not?
Do you want to go in this cave and find a Reggie? Like, sure, what are they all doing? Why is this the legendary party going on in this cave and I'm not invited? It's interesting. Oh, I think that's the show for this week, right?
I think so. Why do you always ask me? You've got the notes! You plan!
It's just in case you want to add anything else before I wrap up.
No, you always put me on the spot. I always feel awkward for it. Stop it.
That's the show for this week. If you've gone this far, you're just a top dollar, aren't you? Before you go, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like or subscribe if you're not already subscribed, as it really helps out our podcast. If you've got a comment or question like Tony did, then you can reach us by leaving a comment on our podcast on YouTube, by emailing goldenrodpod@gmail.com, by leaving it on our Discord channel, or by using the hashtag Goldenrod Pod on Twitter. Connor, where can we find you?
You can find me on my YouTube channel at Captain Fidget, or on Twitter at Captain Fidget.
I'm Ben. You can find me as Professor Hoenn Gaming on YouTube and Professor Hoenn on Twitter. We'll be back next Friday for another week of Pokemon podcast content.
See ya.